It can be hard to love yourself in a world that's telling you not to.
Magazine covers say, look a decade younger, lose the five, fix the flab. This is what our average magazine stand looks like. And it's working. We spend more on beauty than on education.
But we are here to say, screw that. You are perfect and it's not up for negotiation.
We're Lauren McCauley and Jenna Free, intuitive eating counselors and body love coaches from thebodylovesociety.com.
This is How to Love Your Body. On this podcast, you will hear about ditching the diet, loving your body, finding your happy, and living a life of freedom.
Hey guys, welcome to episode 11 of How to Love Your Body. Today, we are going to be talking about why diets don't work. And in case you didn't know, I'm Jenna Free and this is Lauren McCauley.
Hello.
And we are here today. We are intuitive eating counselors and body love coaches. So we're here today to teach you a little bit about why dieting doesn't work, because we are anti-diet people and health at every size advocates. So we really want to drive it home why this crap doesn't work.
Because when we see women feeling like they need to advocate for diets, or they think that's the only thing that they can go back to find what they're looking for, it breaks our little hearts. And we just want to share with you why it actually doesn't work. And you don't ever have to go back to those diets and you can find a new way.
Yeah.
So it's really important for us to talk about this.
Absolutely. So to give you a bit of an intro, like, the diet industry is a $60 billion a year industry in the US alone. And that means people, which is mostly women, are spending tons of money again and again and again to lose weight that probably you listening and we know you'll probably gain back anyways. I know for me, whenever I got thinner than kind of my normal quote unquote size, it always came back so fast. Like, the minute I stopped whatever I was doing, it was back.
One meal.
Yeah, it felt like it, honestly. And it would be one thing if dieting worked, like if you ate a certain way forever and you just kept the weight off, but it wasn't enjoyable. That's one thing. But it's hard, it's sucky, it's actually unhealthy, and it doesn't keep the weight off. So that's why it's really insane, because yeah, it sucks, it's hard, it's not enjoyable, so your life isn't as fun when you're doing it, but it's actually not healthy for you and it doesn't work. So it's really, it's just crazy. And the weight comes back in 95 to 99% of people. There's a lot of studies on that. There's one I found recently that was saying they know now, as much as they know that smoking is bad for your health, that when you intend to lose weight, it will come back in most people. So, like, this is a really known fact at this point. It's not just, oh, like, it seems that a lot of people gain the weight back. No, it's a fact. And actually, 66% of people gain more than they lost in the first place. You're actually ending up heavier than you started. And isn't that really the madness? Is you've tried to achieve one thing and then it backfired and you receive the opposites. You're trying to be smaller and at the end of the day, you're actually bigger than you started.
Yeah, I would say that 99% of the people that we actually talk to are like, if I just accepted myself back then, what was I thinking? It's just like never enough. And it's always like, you got to find the answer. And it's interesting to hear that comment. Like, I'm sure a lot of you have either said that or heard that once before.
Oh, absolutely. Like, if you think about it, when you started dieting, you're probably pretty young. What if you just been happy with that body and like maintained a balanced life your whole life? And yeah, your body might still change a little bit because of aging and life events, but imagine if it was just more steady than it's been. Like, that would have been a whole different life, and you wouldn't have had to torture yourself with diets going on and off, and you wouldn't have had that probably consistent weight gain you may have been finding in your years and years of dieting, which is what most people do find. So kind of to give you a little bit of metaphor compared to this, like, Can you imagine if there was a car wash where 99% of cars came out at least as dirty as they went in? So you're paying to go in the car wash and you come out looking the same, and 66% of those people actually came out dirtier than they went in. Like the cars came out dirtier than they went in the car wash, and you're paying for that.
And you keep going back.
Yeah. Would you keep paying money to go through that car wash? Of course not. You probably, after the first time, would never return. You would probably tell everyone you know that it's a scam and it's bullshit. And you might not even go in it in the first place because someone might have told you, oh man, that car wash is so bad. Like, people do not get results from that at all. Mm-hmm. But yet, here we are after 10, 20, 30, maybe 50 years of dieting, and you're going to start another one again on Monday? Like, is that not the craziest thing you've ever heard? we get it. We were there. So it's just funny because it's like, man, when you really think about it logically and break it down, it becomes more clear to like, whoa, that's so weird. Like, why do I do that? I wouldn't do anything else that didn't work over and over again. And we're going to talk a little bit about why you might be stuck in that cycle, even though it's not working. But it's just one way to think about it, to really get some clarity around like, whoa, this is pretty nuts. So How did we get caught up in this cycle? When we logically can see, like, okay, I think we logically know, I know I always gain the weight back, but we just keep trying. So we do have some reasons why that might be.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of it just stems from fear. Mm. You have so much fear, you get scared back into another diet because you just don't know another way. Mm. But reasons that this is happening is that you've been told if you can't keep the weight off, it's your fault. It's never the diet's fault. It's interesting. We never, like, you go through many, many, many diets and it never works, but you're the one who gets to shame yourself and say, it was me, I didn't have enough willpower, I didn't like to work out that much. Whatever you said to yourself, it's just so interesting. Like, how could you not blame the diet? That's the only common factor in everything you're doing. And of course, you're a common factor as well. But can you see?
But when it's happening, like, to all of us, it's like, yeah, not a coincidence.
Right. Like, you're a common factor in your own situation, but why is everybody going through the same thing? So you've just been told it's your fault. But Jenna and I would go on and on and on and tell you why it's not. But that's not what we're talking about right now. So also, you've been conditioned to believe that thinner is always healthier, always better looking, always the way to be. And it makes, oh, thin is worthy. And that's where I think I started my eating disorder in high school, is for some reason I wasn't enough if I wasn't thin enough. And that's where it kind of started for me. So definitely worthiness is part of it. And there is a desperation to our actions around dieting, because who doesn't want to be worthy? Who doesn't want to feel like they're healthier and better looking, and this is the way to be? Of course, this is all not true, but I would understand why people would want to be into dieting, because everybody's doing it and it gets you the look that gets you to the worthiness. So that's definitely a reason that people think dieting is the way to go. Also, you've been told if you're thin, life will be better. Basically, then we'll get you anything, get you anywhere, get that relationship, get that job, get you in that bathing suit to get you that attention, to get you that validation. Like, thin is always better. Mm. And it's just so sad that it's come to this, because it's absolutely not the case. All humans are worthy and all humans can be better, whatever that means, at anything, at any size. Mm. But it makes sense why that's why we would be stuck in dieting, because we have been programmed to think thin will make everything better in your life. And just to counteract that, everybody that we talk to is, when they do lose the weight, we ask them, okay, so did all your problems go away? Like, was everything perfect when you lost the weight? And they were like, hell no. It only probably got worse and more obsessive and my life did not just like, I didn't snap my fingers and everything was great because I lost that X amount of pounds that I wanted to lose. Another reason is just straight up fat phobia. People are, well, not even people, just the world has ingrained in us that fat is bad and it's not okay to be this way. And there's all this meaning around what fat means. So that's going to keep people stuck in it forever if we don't make this change. And this is why we talk about it, because fat phobia is a real thing.
Yeah. And I think it's something like, I forget the exact statistics, so I'm just going to make something up. Something like 30% of people who do diet or try to lose weight are actually like thin, like quote unquote, if we were using stupid medical terms, like healthy weight, thin people are trying to lose weight because of fat phobia. Like, so it doesn't even affect just fat people. And we use fat as a descriptor. It's never an insult in our world. So it's not even like, oh, I'm fat, so I'm trying to get thin and I want to change. It's like, even if you're thin, you're so afraid to gain weight that you'll keep dieting even when you're thin. And that's how I was. Cause I was like a bit chubbier in high school and stuff, but never like, it's not a problem to be any weight. So it was always fine. But you just have such a fear that it's going to get out of control. So then you just start going crazy and trying to keep yourself as thin as possible, even when you're already thin, because fat phobia is so rampant in our culture that it affects everyone of every size. Obviously, fat people are affected more because they actually have to go out in the world and experience it from external sources. But
have the judgment.
Yeah, but we can really have internalized fat phobia and just be terrified of ourselves gaining weight too. So it affects everybody.
Yep, the fear of gaining weight is real in our society. And I think because of how horrible society has made fat mean, people will do anything not to be put in that category. And I think that's a very, very dangerous thing, honestly. So we're going to fight back on that. That's for sure. And then another reason that we want to share is, I think this actually, speaking of dangerous, like this is like one of the most dangerous points of them all, is that professionals that we actually look up to and we, you know, we trust, is they're the ones telling us to lose weight, like lose weight, lose weight, lose weight. That's all you have to do to be healthy, to be whatever. So it's like, you're getting this from doctors, from dietitians, from pretty much any authority figure is giving you this main message of losing weight. Yeah. It's Oprah, we love you so much, but so many people look up to you. And it's just when authority figure is sharing weight loss or sharing this product or whatever it may be, it's very influential. Mm-hmm. So it is scary that we have people who are sharing this information. And the thing is, Jen and I were talking about, is these professionals, they're in it themselves. They have their own fears. They have their own fat phobia. They have their own stuff going on because they're humans. They live in the world too. They're surrounded by diet culture. So they're influenced. Therefore, they influence their clients or their patients or their fans because that's just what they're doing themselves. So that's a really scary thing. So I would say really take a second guess or take a pause before you think that you need to do anything that a professional says or somebody you totally look up to, because just remember they're in diet culture as well. Yeah. Here's the thing. All of these reasons we are stuck in the cycle stem from diet culture, which we've been talking about. I mean, this comes from like advertisements, again, professionals, fitness people, you know, again, they're all rooted in this fear. So they just believe that thinner means healthier and happier. And again, not the case. It's just not true. So, but it is like very, very flashy and so shiny to sell weight loss. Like people are looking for solutions to be better, to be worthy, to be whatever it is that they want to be. And yeah, weight loss totally sells like crazy. But it's interesting if you're like a fitness trainer or somebody who prescribes weight loss, have you ever like given this advice out to all of your people and they just come back healthier and happier and thinner and they just stay that way forever? I don't think so. I feel like if you're a trainer, you may notice that your clients are actually not getting the results, or their results are going very up and down. Or maybe if you work at Weight Watchers, you'll notice that people come back for the second, third, fourth, 100th time to try it again. Like, it's actually not sticking. So what's the point if you're going to give weight loss as a prescription and then just see them return with more weight back on? It just doesn't really make sense. So this is why we just really want to shed light on why dieting doesn't work. And it really just won't work. Like, we're sorry. We wish that it would give you everything that you thought it would. Like, if we could snap our fingers and it all works out, like, yeah, why not? But that's not the case. So we're going to go into why diets don't work.
Yeah, absolutely. So the first point of why diets don't work is biology. It's very simple. Like, your body's main function is to keep you alive. So when you restrict food, it thinks you're in a famine. Its response to that is to get really hungry. So they call it primal hunger. It's literally like you're an animal. You have a lot of cravings, and your body will store every single calorie you give it. So this is why even at Weight Watchers, when you lose weight, they divvy you less and less points to eat. So when you, the thinner you get, the less you get to eat to maintain that thinness. So eventually you're eating so little, but your body's still hungry, and it wants food and just thinks you're in such a severe famine that it's protecting you by holding on to every little calorie you give it. So this means when you do allow food again, because you always will, don't you dare tell me that you started a diet 20 years ago and now you've been eating perfectly every day since. Like, that's never happens. When you do allow that food, so say you're like, oh, it's the weekend. Okay, awesome. I'm going to go for dinner and get dessert and have wine. It's going to be so fun. I earned it this week. You go into animal mode. And it may look like binging or overeating. And you might get that screw it attitude and eat everything you can, promising yourself you'll start again on Monday. So that might look like you've been eating perfect all week. It's Friday evening. You go out with your girlfriends. That first glass of wine hits your lips. You order pizzas. You're ordering appetizers. You're ordering desserts. You're loving it. And that's fun. I want you to do that. That's great. But then the minute you're doing that, your body is like, yes, I'm so hungry and deprived. The famine is over. This is amazing. Get everything you can, because who knows when the famine's going to return. And so then you might find that all weekend you are just thinking about food, eating everything you possibly can, promising yourself you'll start again on Monday. Like, that is biology. That is not you. So you are not weak or have low willpower. It's actually a good thing your body is doing to help you survive. It doesn't know there's a McDonald's on every corner. It thinks food could be scarce and you need to be protected because you're obviously not getting enough of it. And in what animal in our animal kingdom would have food in front of it and not eat when it's hungry? No animal but human beings. So your body's like, oh, well, there must not be food available because she's hungry and not eating, right? So we don't want you to hate your body for this, because in our culture, it's like naturally thin people are so revered. And if you're hungry or if you gain weight, it's like such a bad thing. But don't hate your body for it. Thank it. All you need to do to make that go, make that stop, make that kind of famine feeling and that animalistic hunger go away, is to stop depriving your body. And once you do that, when you actually eat every time you're hungry, it will regulate and become balanced on its own. Your body is always on your side and is forever protecting you from yourself, putting yourself in a famine, or protecting you from real famine and real danger. Your body doesn't know the difference. So really, the solution here for the biology piece of why diets don't work is stop dieting and start feeding yourself when you're hungry, and feed yourself enough and feed yourself satisfying foods that fill you up and make you feel like like, you know, that satisfied feeling. It's not like, okay, now go eat as much volume of lettuce as you can to like fill your stomach. No, you need true satisfying meals that tell your body, no, there's food available. Don't worry. You don't need to hold on to every little calorie I'm giving you. Like, there's lots available. Don't worry about it. And your body will be like, okay, great. And it'll burn whatever you're eating for fuel, and it'll do its thing, and it'll function the way it should when there's abundance of food available. So there is. So stop tricking your body into thinking you live in a desert and give it what it needs, and that's going to help a lot.
Yeah. Food totally gets to be pleasurable. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's social, it's fun, it's tasty. Like, we get to enjoy that as part of life. Like, humans get to have enjoyment. They get to have happiness. And yes, there's suffering on the planet, but food doesn't have to be one of them.
Yeah.
Food gets to be like the light and amazing part of life. And, you know, we are talking from a privileged place. Like, I get there's people in the world that don't have enough food, or, you know, they are hungry.
Yeah. So it's another reason, though, to like honor your hunger. We are so lucky in this country. I'm assuming if you're listening to a podcast, probably on an iPhone, that you have the ability to buy yourself food. So that's an assumption I guess I'm making. But if you can afford to eat enough, freaking eat enough. Your body wants it. And you're so lucky to be able to do that. Just like we're so lucky to be able to have a fridge full of food. And then we're stressing over the fact that we're eating the food that's available to us. It's a shift we can make in our perspective for sure. Yeah.
Yes, it's a simple and easy thing in our life that we can have, because it doesn't, sometimes things are hard, and this actually doesn't have to be hard, which is so awesome. And then just to go off of a little bit of like your body always being there for you, that's something I definitely have learned as well in my past. I thought my body was against me. I didn't like my body. I hated it. I didn't like that I had to feed it. I didn't trust it. It wasn't good enough. It wasn't thin enough. It was, you know, all of that stuff. Mm-hmm. And the thing is my body has been there, just like it is for all of you. It's been there for myself and us this entire time, trying to hold on, trying to survive, trying to regulate our craziness with our diets. Like, it's been doing everything in its power to help us survive. So just really think on that. Like, you get to say thank you to your body wherever you're at. Mm-hmm. It just wants to be there for you. So going into another reason why diets don't work is psychology. It really is the mental aspect of all this, because our mind, you probably already know this, but our minds are little rebels. And when you set rules, it truly, they are meant to be broken. if you have a rule set on yourself, I mean, have you ever 1,000% of the time never broken a rule that you set a standard for yourself? So especially in the food world, food rules and meal plans, I mean, how long have they ever lasted for you until those rules were broken? Because when you say, I mean, I think one of the biggest things is like, the biggest things is, I'm not eating bread anymore, or I'm not eating carbs anymore. And the second you say that, what do you think that you're obsessing about all day long? And I have done this myself. The second I say I can't have something, it's the very thing that I want. Even if I'm like not even craving it in that moment, your body is now like, there's a rule, I can't have bread. And then you future trip, like, I'm never going to have it. No, so now I really want it. And that's just something that our brains are kind of like meant to do. You give yourself a rule and now you obsess over it. So when you tell your brain that it can't have something, it wants it that much more. And it's like saying, like, don't think of a pink elephant. Everybody, don't think of a pink elephant. Don't think of it. Don't think of it. Okay. So what have you been thinking of ever since I've been talking about a pink elephant? I'm pretty sure that's all you can think of right now is a pink elephant. And it's because we're telling you not to think about it is why you're thinking about it. If we didn't bring it up and we didn't say anything about it, it wouldn't even have crossed your mind. And that's how food can be too. So obsessing over not doing something is seriously nearly impossible, I think, in a lot of areas of life, but especially food. Because if all day you're saying something like, don't eat that, can't have that, not that, restrict that. Oh, I really want that, but don't eat it. It's almost impossible to expect yourself not to eat it. And even if you don't eat it, think of the mentality going on in your head all day long and how long can you hold on to that? Yeah, maybe you're telling yourself, don't eat that for a couple days, a week, maybe even you made it a month. And imagine the second you get your hands on what you're not allowing yourself to have, it's like, whoa. So what we do want to say is if you repair your relationship with food, this will cause you to actually not think about it all day long and you like think about food all day long. And what it will do is when you have that healthy relationship, you kind of just listen to your hunger signals and you eat when you're hungry and you choose what you want to eat and you eat it and it's like moving on. So this really does make your brain very happy and you don't need to set rules or restrict yourself from eating everything in sight. Like you become more relaxed around food and it truly is you think about it less and you can enjoy life more. It's kind of interesting that dynamic is when you do repair your relationship with food and your body, how, oh, I can just think about it less and then I can enjoy my life more. That's a really interesting way.
And I'd say you can even enjoy food more because you're not like, even when you're dieting, well, of course you're not enjoying food when you're dieting, but even when you give in on the weekend or give in after you finally let go, you're not even enjoying it then because you're shoving in it so fast. You're feeling guilty. You're feeling bad. No, you're not present at all. So you actually can think about food less. And when you're actually eating it, you get to enjoy the taste of the food and the food itself more. So it's win-win-win when you repair that relationship with food. Mm-hmm. So the next point why diets don't work is the expectations we have on them. So we really are kind of taught that if we all eat the same, we can look the same. And that is absolute crap. We all have different bodies. And even if we all ate and moved in exactly the same way, even if me and Lauren were say, okay, we're going to eat exactly the same way and move the exact same amount and in the exact same times and formats, the two of us won't look the same. And we even have similar-ish body types. Thinking that we can and should all be thin really is a huge issue because if your friend loses weight on a meal plan and a certain workout regimen, you figure, okay, I'll do the same thing. I'll get the same exact results. So say she lost X amount of pounds, you're also going to lose that same amount of pounds. And then when this doesn't happen, you blame yourself, you beat yourself up, you become even harsher with yourself on the next diet. And that rocky relationship with food in your body is guaranteed to keep you stuck in a self-sabotaging cycle. So if you're mad at your body, you're likely to get stuck in that screw it attitude that we've talked about. Like, well, that worked for her, but not for me. What the hell's wrong with me? What's wrong with my body? Bah, 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 bah. I'm just going to eat this cake. Screw it. You like hate on your body. Why won't you do what her body did? And you're doing all these things that will not help you to heal your relationship with food. It will not help you to become healthier, to speak to yourself that way, and to beat yourself up because you didn't get the results that your friend did. When we were never expected to. Your bodies are different. Your bodies are going to react to different things in different ways, and that's fine. We really, like, this is where body acceptance comes in huge. Because then maybe you really were enjoying these new meals you were eating and you really liked this exercise class you were attending. But if you expect this to look the same as your friend after you do it, it's going to just make you feel so bad about yourself and really beat yourself up.
Mm-hmm. Imagine if you lowered all your expectations. Mm-hmm. Like it just like nothing meant anything and you can just lower the expectation. That would literally be life changing. And we do see that as a bit of a tough thing to do, mm-hmm. but just to kind of speak it out loud is what if you let go of all these expectations and just focused on yourself?
Yeah.
Something to think about. So another point is diets are 100% visible results based. Like if you tweaked your eating, like, okay, so let's just say you wanted to be a little bit more nutritious. You started moving your body a bit more and you like really felt great. like you felt good in your body and all was well, but then you didn't, you, let's say you stepped on the scale after a certain amount of time and you didn't lose weight, you didn't get the physical results, we bet that you would likely stop all of these new behaviors that you took on, meaning you'd stop being as nutritious, you would stop moving your body because you weren't losing weight. But it's so silly, because what if your body, it was serving your body? You were feeling really good in your body. So it doesn't make sense that because there was no change from the outside, that now it's just all pointless. And it doesn't make sense that this is just not a healthy outlook. Like, you were making changes to feel better in your body, and because you didn't lose weight, you stop these. So that's another thing to think about, because we want to ask you this question. If, let's say, you know, everybody starts on these new diets. So if you were guaranteed no weight loss, like before you started a diet, there was a disclaimer, you will not lose weight, like no weight at all before you started the X diet, we would like to ask you, would you do it? If you were guaranteed no weight loss, would you start a new this new diet? And the thing is, we would have to say 99.9% would say, heck no. If there's no weight loss guarantee, there's no way I'm going to be starting that diet.
Or even the possibility of any weight loss.
Totally. So this is really an important question to ask yourself, because if you've been saying that you only diet, like if you've been masking your diets behind, I just want to be healthy, then it's not true, because the only reason you want to diet is because you want to lose weight. Mm-hmm. And we also are going to go into our next point that Jenna's going to talk about, is why losing weight is not equatable to health.
Yeah, absolutely. And even if, yeah, okay, you're going to go on a diet and part of it is to be healthy, sure, that makes sense. But usually the main motivator is the physical outcome, that actual weight loss.
Oh, yeah.
So we just want to say, like, don't kid yourself. If you're like, oh, yeah, just like my doctor said to get a bit healthier and eat a few more vegetables. Okay, well, then weight loss should not even be in the equation. So if you are really, like, trying to kid yourself that, oh, but it's not about weight loss with me, so I'm just going to continue what I'm doing. So, okay. Mm. So if I give you a diet and I say you're going to be this exact same weight the whole time, but you will improve your health. No one, like, no one's going to freaking do it, because they want the weight loss too. So just, like, don't kid yourself that weight loss isn't motivating you to do things.
Oh yeah. Just to say a little bit of my personal story is I was vegan/vegetarian for 6 years of my life. And I do have to say that a part of it was stuff that I read, and that's why I went into that. And most of it, now that I could look back and be honest with myself, is I was in a straight up eating disorder, and it was so much easier to say, oh, I can't eat that because I'm vegan, or like you really are restricted if you're vegan, especially. Not to shame any vegans if that's your thing and you love it. Now I eat everything, but it was really an easy way to mask, like, yeah, I'm so healthy because I eat vegan, but I really was having really unhealthy behaviors under the surface, but nobody would ever question me because it was about my health. Mm. But that wasn't necessarily true.
Absolutely. So the next one is really a reason why diets don't work is the false beliefs we have around this whole area. So we've been told that weight loss is healthy. And this is not the case. The fact that your body keeps trying to put the weight back on, to me, is clear proof that weight loss might not have been needed or healthy at that time for you, or especially in the way that you're trying to achieve it with such restriction and, like, intensity. So really just take this into account. Like, weight loss does not equal healthy, and weight gain does not equal unhealthy. Like, when you see someone lose weight, it's always like, oh my God, you look so good. You look so healthy. It's like, well, what if that person has cancer? What if that person had a tragic event and they lost their appetite? What if that person's in an eating disorder? What if that person is dieting and so obsessive that they can't even, like, get their heads out of the clouds because all they're thinking about is the calorie points going through their heads. Like, you don't know what people are going through. But the minute we see someone gain weight, it's like, oh, I feel so bad for her. And the minute we see someone lose weight, we're like, oh my God, you're so amazing.
Yeah,
like,
you look so good. And it's like,
and we all know. Even know you look so good, we all know is always code for you look thinner. Like, you don't say that to people that don't lose weight or don't look thinner or don't, like, have an outfit that's slimming. It's always about that. That's why it's so funny. I've actually been trying to, like, stop even saying anything about anyone's looks. Because I think that's what people perceive it as. They're like, oh, I must look thin if you say they look good. It's so funny.
Yeah, so stop congratulating weight loss people. Please. It's really damaging.
Yeah, and because also – when that person inevitably gains the weight back 99% of the time and you stop complimenting them, it's so freaking obvious. Like, it is so awkward.
And they go into judgment and shame, and it's just, it's not cool.
And then they don't want to see you. Like, when we talk to clients and they're like, I've gained a little, like, I'm not dieting anymore, so I'm back at my normal weight, and I feel like embarrassed to go see my family.
Now I have to see, now I have to see my family because, and they're going to judge me.
Yeah, because that family was like, oh my God, you look so good when they lost that temporary weight. Well, if their family never mentioned their body size or weight of any sort, you would probably feel a lot more comfortable around them when you're fluctuating because your body's going to change over your life. I don't care what you're doing. Even as an intuitive eater, you're going to age. Life events are going to happen. Maybe you're going to have babies. Like, things are going to happen. So you as an individual, one thing you can do to start helping the world is by, stopping commenting about weight in any way, good, bad, or ugly. So that's really important. So
yeah, I would have to say really quick also, just to think back on my own life, is just talking about my life so much on this podcast, is going back into the obsessive eating disorder stuff. Mm-hmm. It's like, I think that I was stuck so long in it because I was getting so much praise for how I looked. Like, if nobody ever said one thing about my body and never gave me the validation that I was looking thinner, I really wonder if I would have stayed so long, because every time someone did say, like, oh, wow, or whatever, it would fuel my fire and it would make me want to go more, make me want to go harder. It was like a game, and it, not blaming other people, of course, that's not where I'm coming from. I'm just saying the validation and the fishing for compliments, or just validating, like, oh, it's working. Like, no, I'm not doing, I'm getting thinner. I would get validation from people that would keep me going because, oh my God, well, they told me I look good. What if I start eating again and then I'm going to gain weight and then I'm not going to get, it's a whole mind F.
Yeah, absolutely. And just like, as we're talking about this, know that we, like, weight loss is not inherently bad or a negative thing. And that's not at all what we're saying. It's the pursuit of weight loss that messes us up, because when we're hunting for weight loss, when we're doing things to intentionally lose weight, we start ignoring our body signals. Our body goes into famine mode, like we talked about in the first point. We get obsessive about counting points and calories, so that's the psychology point. And it really creates an imbalance in our bodies that our bodies do not like, and they go into that reactionary mode where they're trying to protect you. So it's that pursuit of weight loss. We are anti-pursuit of weight loss, not anti-weight loss. I don't give a crap what your body does. I don't care if you lose weight. I don't care if you gain weight. Like, your body's going to do what your body's going to do. So just know it's the pursuing it that's damaging you, not the weight itself. Because if you were just living your life, you were tuning into your body, giving it what it wants, moving your body in ways you enjoyed without pressuring yourself, you just did it when it felt good, when you put time into being fulfilled and happy, and you happened to lose some weight, cool. Like, we're not going to celebrate that because you are not now a better person because you lost some weight. But we will be excited that you feel tuned into your body and the mental stress of dieting is gone. And it's not a bad thing at all. It's just a neutral thing. Like, okay, your weight changed. Whether it's up, down, or it doesn't change, doesn't matter. What matters is you're honoring your body. You're feeling free. Your mind is clear. You're living life to the fullest. You're realizing, wow, I can actually have everything I want right now in this body. I don't have to wait to date. I don't have to wait to ask for that promotion. I don't have to wait to get the cute clothes. That's one, like, just one more tidbit before we're kind of wrapping up. It is interesting how people are like, oh, but I always feel better about myself when I'm thinner and when I lose weight. Yes. Well, I also hear people saying like, oh, now that I've gained weight, I like wear baggy clothes. And they're like not trying anymore. I'm not doing my hair. I'm like not caring what I look like. Or now all my clothes are too tight. And they're not going out and buying beautiful new things that fit their wonderful body as it is right now. So of course you're going to feel better when you were thinner because you were getting your freaking nails done. You were moving your body.
You were getting compliments.
Yeah, well, that too. But even even how you treat yourself when you're thinner is like you give yourself more attention. You like do your hair more, do your makeup more, wear nicer clothes, like move your body more. And you're honoring your body more when it's thinner. Well, quit that. Honor your body no matter its size and you're going to find that you actually feel great. Even if you gain a little bit of weight, but you're in clothes that you love, you're doing your hair and makeup the same you've always done, you're honoring your body, you're moving
it. You can have the same confidence.
Yeah, and having that same confidence and doing the things you loved before in this new body, you're going to find that it feels a lot better than just being like, oh, I've gained weight, so I better hide. I'm not going to even bother with my hair and makeup. I always did that. Oh, I won't wear that cute outfit until I've lost 5 pounds. Yeah. It's like, well, it fits now. Why don't I just freaking wear it now? Like, it's so funny how we'll kind of wait for life to happen when we're thinner. And then we think it was the thinness that made life better. No, it was because you allowed yourself to start living fully when you were thinner. So allow yourself to start living fully in any size you're at right now. And you're going to find it's not about the weight at all.
Mm-hmm. You have the same person within you at any body size. Mm. Like you are you and you can really, I don't know, have the same exact feeling or the same exact embodiment of the confidence of everything you've ever dreamed of in the body that you have now, because you are you and weight loss doesn't change you to more worthy or less worthy or enough or not enough. It's you're still the same person. So I think that's always something to remind yourself. Even if you don't believe it, you're still in there no matter what. Yeah. So you got this, right? So we do want to say that we do talk a lot about intuitive eating, and intuitive eating really is the antidote to dieting and to just all the craziness that we get ourselves into when we get into this diet world. Like, intuitive eating is the gateway to your freedom, to around food, around your body, to create that healthy relationship, to truly stop dieting forever. So when we say the word intuitive eating, you may know a lot about it. And you also may be like, I don't know anything you're talking about. What is intuitive eating? So we did do an episode. It was last episode, I believe, episode nine. Yeah. So episode 9 is where we talk about, the title is What is Intuitive Eating? So just go check out that podcast so you can get more knowledge around intuitive eating and what it kind of entails. And also, just to keep talking about intuitive eating, is that we also have an online group on Facebook. It's an intuitive eating support group. And we add in some body love, and it's just a bunch of women in this group that, you know, support each other. Jenna and I are in there as well. So the link will be in the show notes for you. But if you just want to go search us on Facebook, because that'll probably be easy enough too, is just search the Body Love Society on Facebook and you will find us. You'll probably find our page. You'll find our support group. And just add into that because you'll get a lot of knowledge there as well. And lastly, we do want to share with you that we run a program called the Intuitive Eating Academy. So it's a 6-month program. So you really, really dive deep into this that actually helps you become an intuitive eater and really dieter to intuitive eater, which is awesome. And we focus on genuine wellness, people. Like, we still love wellness. We still love you feeling good in your body. We want you to feel that way. So it's not just like, okay, now you're going to do intuitive eating, let myself go, not care about my health. Not true, not even true in the slightest bit. So we still focus a lot on wellness overall. And so to learn more about this program, you can just go to our website and click the Work With Us page. You'll see all about it. And then we also will just share the link in the show notes so you can easily go click on that. And I think it's a really helpful program that could really take you from feeling in prison to feeling free. To be honest, yeah. Very good.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much, guys, for tuning in. Hopefully this gives you a bit of gumption to not fall back into that dieting mm-hmm. pattern, because we know how it can be seductive. We know it can take over your life, and there really is another way. And I know it's scary because it's new and it's different. But that's why we do what we do, and that's why we have our program, because it's scary. So just take someone's help who knows how to do it and follow them, whether that's an anti-diet dietitian in your area or an intuitive eating counselor, or whether you're working with us, which we are intuitive eating counselors and body love coaches. And we do work a bit more intensely because we have the online elements. We have weekly calls. We give you weekly lessons and worksheets, as well as the Facebook groups. You're actually getting support every single day. Whereas with a dietitian, you might just see them once a week, which whatever seems best for you. But mm-hmm. if this is seeming scary, but you're knowing that it's the path that's right for you, just feel free to reach out.
Yeah, and just to let you know, for a little bit more logistics, is we do start our next group on July 15th, and the group is already half full. So if you're interested, definitely reach out, because spots will fill up.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you so much, guys. We'll see you next week.
Bye.